Wonderful words. Why would my Savior to Calvary go? Why did he love me so? I don't know if you've ever thought about that. Well, I hope to make you think about that tonight. So before we open the Word of God, we're going to speak to God in prayer. Our Father, we give thanks this evening for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have been singing of the cross where the Lord Jesus Christ died. We've been singing about Calvary and just a little place outside Jerusalem where the Lord Jesus was nailed on a cross. And while it was a gruesome death, yet we know from Scripture it was a death that would provide salvation to the fallen human race. So we pray that help would be given here in the gospel this evening. Both us speakers would pray for help and blessing. Remember them in every other place where the gospel is preached tonight. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Thank you very much for coming this evening. It's nice to see all who have come out. You get a nice sunny day, and sometimes you get lazy in the evening. I'm glad we have air conditioning here, and I think it is on. And so thank you very much for coming and willing to listen to the gospel for just an hour of your time. We often say we're not the best of speakers. Whatever you think of that, we can say with certainty this is the best message you could ever hear. Quite a number of years ago, David and I, we were in college, and Joe Giz, I think he was premier at the time, and at Holland College, he was a guest speaker at a, I forget what sort of a thing that is, but he was a guest speaker. And Joe Giz was a very passionate speaker, and I think David and I thought, well, if he was a gospel preacher, could he ever let it go? Well, Joe Giz might be a good speaker, but if Joe Giz never handled the message that we are going to speak, Joe Giz has never preached a message like this. Now, just realize that we are dating ourselves. Joe Giz was a premier of PEI many, many years ago. So that's 35 years ago, or 30 years ago. So we are going to read in Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. And we're just going to read one verse. It's verse number 33. Two weeks ago yesterday, we were down in Tilton, New Hampshire. And we were traveling back from a place and we stopped to go shopping. I said, I am done with shopping. I am going to walk back to where we're staying. And Dave said, I'll drive you. I said, no. I said, I know the way. I will walk. And I said, it's a 45-minute walk. I'll be back before you guys will be. And I had it punched in my phone. What I didn't tell them is I had 8% left on my phone. But it was straightforward, I thought. And so I started walking. And got up into a little side road, followed what it was saying. And all of a sudden, I noticed that my GPS was saying 350 meters, turn right. In 400 meters, turn right. Take the trail. In 450 meters, I said, whoa, what's going on? And I looked down at my phone. I said, I'm going further than where I should have turned off. And so, at this point, I was at 2%. And so I started going back, and just as I got to where I should have turned, my phone went dead. And so I took what I assumed was the trail. It wasn't marked. And I said, well, I don't know if these railroad tracks is what they're calling the trail, but I know that the railroad tracks goes close to Asherlet Drive, and so that's the way I'm going to go. And I started walking up the rail bed. Well, Dave Procopio, he was talking to them. He went looking for me. He said, I didn't see you. Well, 40 minutes later, I landed back at 12 Asherlet Road. Most of the time, I was pretty sure, but there was a little bit of hesitation. That if I have missed the direction, I'm just not sure I'll have to walk all the way back and back up the side of the road. But I was on the right road, but maybe not 100%. Now, I don't know what the rest of them thought. Probably thought it was taking a bit of a risk. Why do I tell you that story? Well, sometimes we make decisions, and maybe they're not the best decision. I would have eventually found my way, but it was in the evening. It was 6 o'clock, 20 after 6 when I got there, and I did arrive ahead of Dave and Angela and Wendy, and it was all good. But tonight, you and I, we are on a journey. It's not to Asherlet Drive in Tilton, New Hampshire. It is not to Enmore PEI. But you and I are on a journey, and we are going to leave this earth. Where will your stop be? So here's what I want to think about tonight. I was thinking of this since last Sunday afternoon, sitting in the conference in Pugwash, and I got thinking of this word, this verse, Luke chapter 23, verse number 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And it says, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. I want to leave you tonight with these words. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. If you were to punch into your GPS, Calvary, there's a number of Calvaries down in the U.S. Some of the different states, there's a few different municipalities called Calvary. That is what, not what this is speaking about. This word Calvary is mentioned once in our Bible. It is referred to by another name, Golgotha, a couple of other times. It is likely significant that it is only mentioned once in the Bible. Something that is very succinct, very short, and to the point. It may be a place that much of the world today doesn't know anything about. And maybe physically, you and I would be hard-pressed to find the place Calvary if we were to go over to the land of Israel and just outside Jerusalem. Likely inside Jerusalem now, I don't know. But here's something that Scripture, that the Bible makes a very important and emphatic announcement. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. When we were traveling a couple weeks ago, every day we would punch into our GPS where we wanted to go. On our way down, we were looking for a place to eat. And we punched it in, and we said, okay, it should be there. And you know what? When we came to the place, I think it was the farmer's market or the farmer's kitchen. It was a good place to eat. And when we came there, we didn't drive by. We stopped and we had a wonderful dinner. But tonight, I would like to, just for a few minutes, take you to this place. What is so significant about this place, Calvary? Tonight we have been singing about the Lord Jesus Christ, and one who was nailed on a cross. I don't know how much thought you have given to why the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. I think everyone here is at least in a little bit familiar with the message of the gospel, what we have preached in many nights past. That human beings, you and I, we have been born as sinners. We are born in sin, and we are traveling on a road that is wrong. When I was walking along the old railroad track, I'd have to admit, I wondered every now and again, am I traveling the wrong road, the wrong way? Those tracks that I saw, were they going, is it the way I thought it was? Well, tonight, in your sins, you are traveling the wrong road. You are traveling down. And if we were to read in the early part of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 6, early in the history of man, God saw the condition of the world. And he saw that in the hearts of men and women. And it says that even the imagination of the thoughts of the heart, it was only evil continually. And God saw. You know that in the early part of the Bible, even earlier than that, God had a plan. God had a plan in his mind, and the day would come when the Lord Jesus Christ would leave heaven above. He would step out of heaven. The one who is the creator, the one who is over all. And he would step into this earth. Not into a royal family. I suppose it was, if you trace the genealogy, it was a royal family, but Joseph and Mary, they were far removed from the kings of the Old Testament. But into a poor little family, the Lord Jesus was born as a baby. And he grows up. And when he starts to move around and preach, his disciples and others around him said, "We should make you king." And he says, no, this is not the time. There is a day coming when he will claim his title. He'll claim his rightful position as king. Scott, if you were here this morning, Scott McLeod was speaking. And he said, "Was he born to become king?" No, he wasn't. He was actually born king. But he did not lay claim on it because between the time of his reigning, and that will come likely sooner than what we think. But the Lord Jesus Christ came into this earth because he had a day. There was a day in his calendar when the verse that we have read, it would be fulfilled completely. It would come to pass. There were times when John the Baptist, he preached and he saw the Lord Jesus walking the road one day and he realized, this is the one, this is the Messiah. And he says, "Behold, look, this is the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world." And this is likely 3 years before this verse takes place that we have read about. And for about 3 years, the Lord Jesus, he moves about with his disciples. He heals sick people. There are those who put their trust in him and they are saved. But the day would come. You likely are familiar with the story. Judas, one of the disciples, he talks to some of the religious leaders and he says, "If I have an opportunity, what would you give me if I would betray him, if I would trick him into coming, and you'll be able to take him, you pay me." And Judas actually made a deal with them that he would lead them to Jesus and they would take him and they could do what they want with him. And he likely figured he'll just disappear. He'll just vanish through the midst of them like he did before. There that evening, Judas, he says, "I know where he's going to be tonight." And they give him 30 pieces of silver. And they lead him to where the Lord Jesus is in a garden. And Judas betrays the one he said was his friend. And likely now Judas is saying, why did I sell him? Why did I do such a foolish thing? Not only did I sell the one who I thought was just a prophet, Judas sold the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the events that follow, they take the Lord Jesus. To the amazement of Judas, he doesn't fight back. He doesn't just disappear. He goes with them. You can read in the Gospels. If you take and read in the end of Matthew and Mark, Luke and John, you can get a very clear picture. They gave the Lord Jesus an unfair trial. Even to the point that they would lie about him and the things that he said and did. And at the end, they had to take people that would twist his words. And they said, he's guilty of death. He was guilty of no such thing. And yet they take Jesus. And Pilate, the governor, the one who represented Rome, he looks at Jesus and he looks at the crowd and he looks at the evidence and he says, this man is innocent. And they say, away with him, crucify him. And when they were actually given the choice, Pilate said, do you want this man? He knew that the Lord Jesus was a good man, that he was innocent. Or do you want this murderer, Barabbas? And to Pilate's amazement, they said, give us Barabbas, but crucify Jesus. Pilate has Jesus scourged. They take a whip, the soldiers, they took a whip, and they beat the back of the Lord Jesus. And there's a verse that says that it was resembled a plowed field. And as the stripes came on the back of the Lord Jesus, it would just take and open it up. And they put a crown of thorns on the head of the Lord Jesus, and they took a reed, a lot bigger than this likely, and they would hit him on the head, and those thorns would sink into the skin. Those are just some of the things. And then it says, elsewhere it says they led him to Calvary. They led him out to Golgotha. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. You know, when we stop and think about it, it really is amazing that God in heaven who was watching would stand back. Likely thousands of angels are watching and they're likely thinking, we are going to be sent to rescue him. But the call never came. It's almost like the earth goes into a hush. That the universe becomes quiet when the Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator, the Lord, and he willingly gives his hands to be nailed on the cross of Calvary. There are two other men here, but the focus is not on them. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. In the words that we've been singing, why would he go? Why did the Lord Jesus Christ allow these words to be written concerning him? Why did the Lord Jesus willingly die on the cross? As I wrap up, I just want you to get hold of these words. Not to go there physically, but if you could understand the impact of these words that we have read. These words really are likely going to be the central point of human history in God's interactions with this earth. You know what took place in these words? What took place at Calvary was more than that the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified by men who hated him. The Bible tells us that when he was on the cross, we could go to Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 6. The Lord, God in heaven, laid on him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the iniquity, the punishment, the sin of us all. You know what's significant with these words? Is what took place there on the cross was God putting into play, God putting into effect the work that could cleanse you and I from sin. You know what our desire would be tonight? Is that you would understand this. If this is all you understood, he died on the cross. He died for my sin. That is enough to take you to heaven. That is all you need. These are tremendous words. They just roll off our tongue, but listen to these words. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. What took place there is all you need for your sins to be forgiven. You know what? Almost, it'd be 37 years on the 19th of August when I understood. I've never been to Jerusalem. There's a few people in here that have been. I'd like to go someday. It's really not that safe right now, so I'm not going to go. It'd be interesting to go, but tonight you could, by faith, go to Calvary and understand that the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sin. There are many, many verses that we could point you to concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. That is where he took the sinner's place. If you were to put your trust in him tonight, your soul could be saved. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. If you miss Calvary, I suppose if I'd have missed my directions, there might have been a search party put out. But tonight, if you miss Calvary, if you miss the Lord Jesus Christ as a substitute for the sinner, you have missed everything. Tonight, look at the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has died for sin, the one who has paid the price.